Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is September 4th, 2006. Our session this morning is entitled Labor Day in the Kingdom, Matthew 20, 1 through 16, part of the I Am With You Always summer theme. Our presenter is Paul Hinderly, session number HIP 2006-02. Let's listen in.
Daily text. I was such a great combatant this morning that I didn't even miss the daily text because it was good to begin in prayer. The daily text from today, which the Moravians put out, have since 1731 or 1734. I guess, 3 years. The Moravians have put out this little text for their community, and we know that Dietrich Bonhoeffer used this every day of his adult life, that it was on the desk of his prison cell, and he'd underlined the April 7th text for 1945. And so each day, the Moravians, they just have a, you know, they basically do it by lottery. They pull out an Old Testament text. And then since about 1800, they found a New Testament text to go with it. Because sometimes the Old Testament texts are really odd. Yeah. And then and Mount Carmel Ministries in Minnesota has, for the last 25 years, has taken these texts and bound them in terrific little format with prayers as well that Mount Carmel and the Moravians work on, and Holden Village has a connection to this because often Tom Akestad is the artist. Is I think he is here. He's Tom Akestad, who is whose family has been at Holden Village for 35 years. 40 years almost. So it's amazing the number of relationships you can find. But today's text is kind of interesting because it does get back to whom. And the two texts, one is from Daniel 12:3, the other is from 2 Corinthians 4:6. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And from Paul's letter to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:6, God made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for shining your inextinguishable love through the darkness that easily overwhelms me. Bring light to us in our dark times and give us confidence when darkness seems the only option. Shine in our hearts so that your light shines through us as encouragement for others. Through Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Let's take a moment and give thanks. Thank you, God, for shining in our hearts. Thank you for this rest from labor. Thank you that you have worked your will in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, somebody got a big voice, or do you want me to read it? Anybody want to practice there? We should turn on. Do we have the lights to turn on? It seems so dark. No. Goodness. It is a darkened place.
I think they're writing.
Yeah, we are. We're working on it. It doesn't do anything. There's a
gray day outside.
Yes, well, let your light shine even in Koinonia. Would someone like to read it?
What's the text?
It is Matthew 21 through the 16th verse.
Thank you. Well, I'll start reading it.
I'll read it.
Oh, great. Thank you, Connie.
Chapter 21.
Chapter 20.
Through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them all their wages, beginning with the last and up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the householder, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me to take a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge me my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last.
Wow, it's a great way to run a business. We owned a restaurant for 26 years, and do any of you know what the band played when the British surrendered at Yorktown? The English band, the band of the English, "The World Turned Upside Down," right? And this is "The World Turned Upside Down." You can't run a business like this. But God does run the business, the world, like this. So, what is his name? Montefiore, C.K. Montefiore, a great Jewish rabbi, thought this was the greatest parable. This was the biggest difference he felt between Jews and Christians. This is what, and it isn't that it isn't Old Testament as well. It is in the Old Testament. God is going to do all these things. But we know in Isaiah, when there's going to be a great feast on the mountain, that the Moabites are all going to be down there in the filth at the bottom. You know, so. And here, the Moabites seem to be, even those who come at the very end, are welcomed in and are paid the same, even though they didn't have to work in the scorching heat. Anyway, God doesn't seem to care. You know, have you ever done harvesting? You know, So, I mean, I don't think it's new to a lot of Lutherans what that means. In the vineyards, of course, you had very, very little time. If you think about, Chelan now has a lot of upscale vineyards, and it's very hot in the summer, but the rains do come, even in Chelan, and you've got to get that, you wait as long as you can to get as much sugar content into those grapes as you can, but if you get caught by the rain, the grapes turn flabby. And we know in the Napa Valley in 88 and 89, they were horrible years. And it wasn't that they were late springs, it's that the rains came early. And people who were trying to have their special vineyard designated wines, Martha's Vineyard, one of the most famous vineyards, didn't even harvest in. So, just shows you can lose everything. So the householder is motivated, as they say. He's looking for whomever he can. And
Did any of you notice? Let's just talk about that. We notice in 22, in the second verse, that and this isn't an absentee landlord. This is the guy who's trying to get things out. He obviously has a foreman, but he goes into the marketplace early and he gets his workers, gets as many as he thinks he'll need, his day laborers who are going to harvest, and he agrees. He gets an agreement with the workers for a denarius a day, about as much as it takes. You know, the going wage for the day. But look at 20, verse 4. He doesn't go for a denarius a day there, does he? I will pay you, he says, whatever may be considered. He doesn't say, hey, I will give you, he says. And then look at verse 7, when he finds these guys who are just hanging around at the end of the day. We have no idea what they've been doing. You know, they could have been at Ralph's bar. They could have been they could have been let off early from another vineyard. They could have, we don't know. But we do know that they're kind of desperate by this time, because they are standing around at the labor exchange. And in 27, when he asks them, why have you been standing around here idle, workless, they say, well, nobody's hired us. And he says to them, go to the vineyard. He doesn't tell them he's going to give them anything. He doesn't agree with a wage beforehand. He just says, get going, go. And they do. He doesn't promise them anything here. I'm surprised they went. I mean, if I'd been standing around all day, I might have just said, I think I'll just call it quits. And then, at the end of the day, of course, he lines them up backwards first. That's kind of cruel. I mean, you'd think he would have paid the denarius to the people who were there early, and he agreed with them they'd get a denarius. They could go on their way. And then if he wanted to give a denarius to the guys who'd only been there for an hour, well, he could do that. But instead, he does it the wrong way around. It's like he exhibits these people, getting the hopes up of the folks who've been working their tails off all day. I don't know. He's a crazy guy. And so he picks one of them out. He hears that grumbling. And in Greek, it's gong-gong-gong. Yeah. It really is. Grumble still has that onomatopoeic idea. But and he picks one of them out. And he basically says, you know, why are you giving me the evil eye? Which he uses that word, evil eye. Why, you know, why are you so consumed? I mean, giving the evil eye is, you know, what happens is that the demonic takes hold of you for a moment. And sometimes you have to spit that out, of course. Make sure that doesn't take hold of you for very long. But why do you begrudge me, is what they say here. Because, he says, I am good. He doesn't say, I am fair. God says, because I am. We translate that generous, because I'm generous, and that's fine. But God is saying, I'm God, I'm good. I will show mercy unto all I show mercy to. And according to Jesus, God wants to show mercy to everyone. Well, what do some of the rest of you think? I know we only have a half hour today, so we're, you know, this is the nice thing about a labor day. We get a shorter. Those of you who come in at the very end, you get the full benefit, because you'll get to sing the hymn.
Isn't it not possible that that Jesus shows, or this landlord, excuse me, shows compassion on all the workers, because they probably have families that they need to feed, and those who have been standing all day long waiting to work got the same number of mouths to feed, and he shows great compassion.
Right, right, right.
Possible.
we here holding, you know, doing good Christian lives and helping others and everything. But, you know, probably shouldn't be doing that because we're going to be last. Unless we wait until we're on our deathbed and say, hi, please forgive me for everything.
The kicker there is you don't know when you're going to die.
Well,
last chance.
Isn't this saying what the kingdom is? Jesus said it doesn't make any difference whether you've been a Christian all your life and a good person and doing all these things. Those who come to Christianity and come to him at the very end are going to get the same as you do.
Everybody's
it has nothing to do with grace. I mean, he told it that way so that people would understand it.
I think that's right. Boy, we had three really good comments in a row there that are different. I think you're right about the standing. You know, Milton has that line, but those also serve who stand and wait. They also serve who stand and wait. I don't know what they were doing while they were standing. Their lives are blessed. In the end, everybody's blessed. And it doesn't make any difference when you become a Christian. Church in ancient church had a very difficult time trying to deal with this, and you would put off baptism as long as possible. The most famous case is Constantine, who wasn't baptized until his deathbed. And people think now, oh, what a strange thing. But actually, a lot of people put it off till the very end. Because you couldn't sin after that. No, then you were good. And this doesn't seem to be part of this parable doesn't seem to address that part of things, but
it doesn't really seem to address being saved by just by grace either, because there's always you've got a few hours of good works in there.
Yeah, we don't even know what they did though at the end. You know, they just picked up trash.
Garbology.
Well, garbology is important. You're right.
But one of the things is a denarius was a full day's wage.
Right.
That's what was proper to give anybody who worked all day. And the people who worked had earned it. When we're talking about grace, we've earned it.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us have earned it.
No.
It's describing what grace is. It's a gift.
We're all like the last people.
Right.
In a sense.
Those of you who have your Bible still open, look back to 1927. There's been this long thing on who's going to be there, and there's the story about the harder for a rich man to enter heaven, easier for a camel. Look at verse 27 though, and then remember that, of course, there are chapter headings in the old text. So, somebody just want to read the last part of the 19th chapter from 27 on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
Peter replied, "Remember, we have left everything to be your followers. What will we get?" Jesus answered, "Yes, all of you have become my followers. And so, in the future world, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, I promise that you will sit on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. All who have given up home or brothers and sisters or father and mother or children or land for me will be given 100 times as much. They will also have eternal life. But many who are now first will be last, and many who are last will be first."
And then he starts on this parable. He's talking to Peter, who's saying, what are we going to get out of this? You know, we've done everything. We've walked with you. We've worked with you through the heat of the day. You know, the sun has scorched us. We've worked our tails off. We've left our families. And we know that, you know, Peter had a mother-in-law, so he had left his family. And Jesus is saying, yes, 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 you'll have all this. But listen to this story. Let me tell you this story, because you who plan to judge the 12 tribes of Israel are going to watch an awful lot of people get in, even as you're getting ready to judge. What does judging mean? You know,
You're going to separate out, right? You're going to decide. But what is judgment going to be? Before you even have a chance to judge, God's going to forgive. God's going to already have made that a moot point. And if you look at 2015, he singles one of them out, right? 2013, 14, 15 there where he talks to the one. He answers one in 2013. Now this is, you know, by this time, Jesus is also talking to the disciples who are there. Jesus singles one of them out, perhaps the one who asked the question, what am I going to get out of this? Perhaps Peter, and says, hey, why are you looking at me that way? With the evil eye. Do you understand when I say the last shall be first and the first last? I think it's part of our whole idea of laboring, working. Yesterday's text, be doers of the word. That's good if we keep our, especially if we keep focused on the word. The word is in us. We will do it. But we're not doing it to get up there. As Luther says, God doesn't need us to do these works. Our neighbor does. It's this way, horizontally, not this way. God's already come down and done everything we need, everything we might ask for. But now we have neighbors, and as Luther says, Now that we're clean, we can get our hands dirty in the sins of our brothers and sisters. And that means we're going to get dirty. But we're just going to be so thankful at the end that when Jesus says to us, well done, good and faithful servant, we're going to be the first ones who are surprised. As Luther says in another point, there are going to be three surprises when I get to heaven. The first, all the people who aren't there. The second, all the people who are there. And the third, that I'm there. And I think that'll be as much of a surprise as Matthew has the story. When did we do this? Yeah. We thought we had you figured out, and we won't. It will be surprise, and it will be delight. And it'll be hard on some of us who felt like, hey, we gave up a lot. We gave up a lot to help your kingdom come, and we should get a little more credit. Over this weekend, our restaurant back in Wisconsin, it's one of the busiest weekends of the year, and Labor Day Eve goes on and on and on and on. We close our restaurant at about 9 o'clock, and we usually have a waiting list of 40 or 50 people, but on Sunday night before Labor Day, we usually have it's, 100, 120 people are still waiting for a table at our restaurant. And so Labor Day for us means labor. It doesn't mean work even, because you get cleaned up. You get all cleaned up finally and get home at about midnight, and you have to be in at the restaurant at 5:36 in the morning, because you open at 11 and you have to have a couple hundred loaves of bread out because everybody's going to come back again the next day. And this harvest that we have here really ends, doesn't it? There is an end to it. It's not going to be every day you come back. There is going to be an end to this harvest. And
you let the people that came last come in first.
Well, we should. On Labor Day, we do that. But it's kind of hard because then you've got to wait to open until 9 at night. And the people have been waiting all day long. Well, the table is ready. The feast is prepared. And, come. That's what Jesus is saying today to us. And when we look at all of the promises of the future, it's not... There's going to be work in heaven. There's not going to be work. There's going to be thanksgiving. And for now, we can say that, hear that promise of Jesus when he talks about work in this world, that come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy. I'm going to be yoked with you. Jesus has promised to yoke himself to us in this world. I thought we could sing a little hymn. I'm going to look at that. I've got my handy dandy pianist here. Can take a Paul Gerhardt hymn. Is that 465?
Uh-huh.
Let me hand a few of these out. This is a Paul Gerhardt word hymn, believe it or not. And Paul Gerhardt, you'll have to share, I suppose, was the greatest hymn writer, really, of the Lutheran tradition. During the 30 Years' War, he lost everything, lost absolutely everything. It's called Evening and Morning, Sunset and Dawning. So God's working within us, and you can just be God's poem.